And if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. It's the passage God has given me. Luke chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 41 of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse 41. When you have it, say agape. Hear ye the word of the Lord. The scripture reads, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And as a subject this morning, I want to use the subject of parenting in the 21st century. Parenting in the 21st century. You know, we've heard it said over and over and over, this cliche, that it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a child. And we understand that. We understand that many of us that came up back in the day understood that, that the entire community had a hand in raising us. I can pretty much name almost everybody on my block. Across the street from me was Reverend Clem Stewart. To the right of him was the Henderson family. And then next door to me was the Wheelock family. Then the Sullivan. Then across from the Sullivan was Pastor Luddington. All of these folks are right on my block. And they all had a hand in raising me and all the children that were on our block. And that saying that it takes a village to raise them. But may I serve notice on you all today that that village has changed dramatically. That village has changed dramatically. Times have changed dramatically. And for our young parents, we have a lot of young parents right here in this church, in Agape Christian Church. We have a lot of young couples that will be having children soon because they're taking to heart that message that I preached on, it's time to have some babies. And they're going to be having babies. Amen, amen. But one of the greatest responsibilities, one of the greatest challenges that these young couples have in raising children is that they've got to raise children in a village that's nothing like the village that you and I grew up in. It's nothing like the communities that you and I grew up in. Times have changed. Times have changed, and listen, young people, as well as other members of this church, all the members of this church, if you know of a young couple, if you know a couple that's not here, I challenge you to get a copy of this message and be sure and hand this message out to as many young parents as you can, because the times are getting worse. Things are getting more difficult, and to raise a child now is the greatest challenge that any parent would ever face. Listen, being a president of the United States is one thing, but raising a child in this culture is a whole nother issue. And God has given me a word this morning on this baby dedication day celebration from his word. And for all of the parents and all those that are under the sound of my voice, listen, even though you don't have children, Even though you don't have children, we still have a hand in raising up those who have children. Even though your kids may be grown and gone, you still have a responsibility to the next generation. Amen. The Bible says older teach the younger. Older men teach the younger men. Older women teach the young ladies on how to raise children. We still all have a responsibility. So don't look at me saying, well, he's talking about parenting today and I don't have no kids. Listen, we all have a responsibility. Amen. Amen, amen. And so here it is. Here it is. Number one. Number one, parents, listen. Parenting in this 21st century, parents, you must understand that you have to attend church regularly with your children. It's going to be all A's this morning. Attend church regularly with your children. Right there in verse 41, look what the scripture says. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were three of the celebrations that God required the children of Israel to participate in. And they were to travel to Jerusalem to celebrate the goodness of God. Now understanding what the Passover represents. Listen, when they were in bondage in Egypt, and God told them to take blood and put it over the doorpost so that the death angel would pass over God's chosen people, which was a foreshadow of the blood of Jesus Christ, which has been applied to the doorpost of our hearts so that the judgment of God will bypass us. Did y'all hear me this morning? And they were so excited. They were so excited to go up to Jerusalem to worship the God and Savior of them, delivering them from bondage. And parents, y'all hear me, you ought to be excited to come to the house of the Lord to celebrate the goodness of God. Y'all not hearing me this morning. Listen, because of the blood of Jesus Christ that has been applied to your heart and to my heart, those of us that are saved, we no longer have to face the wrath of God. And you ought to be excited to come worship the God of your salvation. Amen. And listen. Joseph and Mary were from Nazareth, and they traveled to Jerusalem, which was about 70 miles, 65 to 70 miles. Now, they did not have three-car garages. They did not have a Lexus. They did not have a Benzo. They didn't have a Hyundai. Guess how they got to Jerusalem? Yeah. They walked. And listen. Most of the men rode on the donkeys. And the ladies walked. Whoa. Ooh, sisters. Y'all just checked out on me. I'd come back. Come back. My, have times changed. They would serve the men first. Amen, brothers. Somebody say, preach, pastor. But they traveled that long distance to go worship God. And listen, the kids went with them. Do y'all hear me? Jesus was with them going to Jerusalem. They were willing to travel this long road. And we've got four cars for some. And there's an issue about coming to the house of God to worship. Y'all, listen. Young folks, listen. Back in the day, there was no option on whether or not you were going on Sunday. It was automatic. I knew I had to get up and go. It wasn't no questions asked. Billy Perryman wasn't having it. But we've lost that. There was a generation of folks my age who decided that they weren't going to make their kids go to church. That they would give them an option on what they want to believe. And guess what? Look what we have. Look what we have. But parents, young parents, hear me, hear me, hear me. No. You make sure that they come with you to church. There's no option. We going on Sunday. And listen, make sure that you're coming, parents, to worship him. Don't just come, but come to worship him. You see, our children learn how to worship by watching us. They learn how to worship by watching you and I. And they made sure that their kids went with them. Listen at this scripture. I want y'all to read. This is from the New Living Translation, Hebrews 10:25. It says this, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. That's the word of God. And listen, we're close to Christ returning. They were required to go three times. But y'all, listen, times have changed. Times have changed. And here it is. Every time the doors of this place open, you ought to be here. As bad as it is out there, every opportunity that you have to come in and fellowship with the saints, you ought to be excited about that. We need to be excited about that. The scripture says, as the closer we get to Christ's return, we ought to be fellowshipping more and more. But they made sure that their kids attended worship with them. Jesus was with them. Now, the second thing, number two, here go the other age. Parents, make your children accountable to God and active in ministry. Make them accountable to God and active in ministry. Right there in verse 42, look what it says. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. 12 years old. Listen, at the age of 12, thereabout, many Jewish boys would have what they call their bar mitzvah. Now, at this age 12, they became what they call sons of the commandment. In other words, they were now accountable. As 12-year-olds, they were now accountable to the word of God, to the law of God. They were now accountable. And listen, many times, we're trying to make our kids accountable to us. Don't y'all miss this. Many times we're trying to make our kids accountable to us when we really ought to be focused on making them accountable to God. Y'all hear me this morning. See, when they're accountable to God, being accountable to you will be easy. Many times we're trying to get them to be accountable to us and we hadn't even sent them to God. That's big. And we're constantly frustrating ourselves. Listen, if they ain't gonna listen to God, you can forget it. Amen? Now, we do know that the Bible tells us to put some on them when they're disobedient, right? Right? But that only lasts but for so long. Because they're going to get to an age, or you're going to get to an age where you don't even have the strength anymore. Or they're going to get to the age where they're just as strong as you. Amen. I got to age one time and I caught that belt. Worst mistake of my life. But that only goes so far. And they've got to leave the house. They have to leave the nest. Amen. But if you focused on making them accountable to God. See, when they fear God, they'll do right. The reason most of our young people aren't doing right is because they don't fear God. They don't fear God. But as parents, our ultimate goal is to get them to fall in love with him. And to fear Almighty God. And so they became a son of the commandment. Now, while we talk about that age of accountability, people say, well, what's the right age? Well, like I said, 12 years old is what the Jews kind of govern themselves by, 12, 13 years of old, of age. But really, when they can understand, when they can understand. See, we have children's church here at Agape, right? And so children's church is an opportunity for them to just get fed down here as little children, as little children. But they can't stay down there. Amen. We need to bring them back in here. Amen. So they can get active in the church. But children's church is to lay that foundation. The nursery and children's church is to lay that foundation for our kids. Now, times have changed. And our kids are learning stuff now. Y'all hear me this morning? Our kids are learning stuff now. And if they can learn how to do all of this stuff, let me put one, they can do this. They can work it like this now. If they can do all of that, they can pick up this word. Amen. Yeah, they can pick up this word. This word. They're learning so much now. Tell you now, we got 6-year-olds with cell phones. Yeah, amen. It's 6-year-olds, no more stuff. There's some stuff going on right now in elementary school that was unheard of when we went elementary. Unheard of. It's all kinds of stuff out there with our kids now. And if they're picking it up earlier, then we need to come down earlier and start giving them the word of God. Amen. Listen, Nehemiah 8:2 says this. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the 7th month. He said, all who could hear with understanding. All who could hear with understanding. Our job as parents is to make our children accountable to God. Not only this, they became active. They were able to now serve in the temple at that age. They were now able to serve in the temple. So in other words, our children, not only do we make them accountable to God, but they ought to be doing something in ministry. Amen. Come on, y'all, stay with me this morning. Don't leave me like that. They ought to be serving in ministry. Amen. There's some kids who need to get out the boat. Amen. But part of the reason some kids still in the boat is because parents are still in the boat. There is something for everybody here to do in ministry. Amen. Parents, it's our responsibility to get them active in ministry. They ought to be doing something. I remember a story back when I was growing up in another church. I used to be the youth choir director. And I remember one of the sisters told their grandson, you're going to sing. He wasn't doing nothing. She said, you're going to sing. Put him up in the choir stand. He wouldn't sing. He's sitting up there, choir rocking. He's just sitting there like this. Now I'm directing the choir. And all of a sudden, I saw this grandmother come up on the side. And a young man at the top row, he's at the top row. This grandmother went all the way up to the top row, snatched him up, beat him. Y'all listen, beat him all the way down. I told you gonna sing. Beating him. And I'm directing the choir and all the kids. I'm trying to keep the kids singing and this young man getting beat by his grandmother. That's old school. Active. They ought to be doing something in church. Amen. Amen. And in that old school thing, I beat it in you. I beat it out of you and I beat it in you. But they ought to be active in ministry. The Angel Boys Choir. Amen. Joe and Linda and Tracy, the Angel Boys Choir. They ought to have all the kids up there singing. Amen. You choir, you ministry, we got all these things for our young people to be active in. Serving as doorkeepers, greeting people. Amen. They play instruments. Get up here and play. Being active in your church. Don't just sit back and watch. No, that's something for everybody to do. Amen. Number three, parents, don't assume anything with your kids. Y'all see my little graphic? Look at that girl climbing out the window. Don't assume anything with your kids. Look at the scripture. Here it is, verse 43. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. Parents, don't assume anything with your kids. Now, Mary and Joseph assumed that Jesus was in the caravan. Now, they traveled. When they traveled, they rolled deep back then. They rolled deep. When they went up to Jerusalem, you got all the kinfolk, everybody, friends, relatives, big old caravan of folks traveling up to Jerusalem. So as they were returning, they just assumed that Jesus was in there with somebody. They just assumed that. They assumed that. And parents, don't ever assume anything with your children. That's a problem. It's a big problem that we have. Listen. You know, back in the day, we used to, I go to my relative's house, and I'd be like, Mom, can I spend the night with my relatives? And usually Mom was cool about that. She let me stay every now and then with my cousins. I'd be at my cousin with Harold and Junior. I want to spend the night at Aunt Betty's house. Mama, can I spend the night? I want to spend the night. She let me spend the night. But again, remember I told y'all, the village has changed. The village has changed. And parents, talking about assuming things, don't let your kids stay with anybody. The village has changed. It's not what it used to be. Amen. Don't assume that they're going to be all right staying at their house. And listen, you need to meet people's parents. You need to meet these kids' parents. Amen. You need to meet these kids' parents. I need to know who your mother is. Know who your father is. Just don't assume they, since they're on the team with your kid, it's okay. You don't know, you can't assume anything. You don't know what they're doing in that house. You don't know what's going on in them houses. What those parents are exposing your kid to. Amen. No. And listen, even some relatives. Listen, all of my family ain't saved. And I can't let my kids go over there and y'all doing all this other stuff. Not exposing them to all that stuff. I'm trying to raise them right. Just cause they kinfolk. No, don't assume anything. Amen. Listen. Even church folk. Y'all hear me this morning? Just cause they go to church, you still better know who they are. See, everybody in here ain't trying to walk this thing out. Amen. I'm going to take it a little deeper. Some of you parents got these teenagers too. Teenagers. Don't assume that cause your child go to church that your child got it going on. So much so that you're willing to go to bed at night when they got somebody of the opposite sex in the house. You in the bedroom sleep, and they got somebody of the opposite sex in your house while you sleep. Come on now. No. When I go to bed, everybody got to go. Hey, we shutting it all down. When I go to sleep, I remember Patrice dating a little boyfriend. Come by the house, I'm like, Mr. Perriman, can I take you out to eat? I was like, yeah, where y'all going? Chili's. Okay, that's cool. Which one? Right up here, 78. All right. What time do I need to have on, Miss Brandman? When y'all finish eating? I didn't have to think about that one. Don't assume nothing. Nothing. You need to know what's going on in their lives. Amen. Listen, parents, when they close that door at home, don't assume that they're in there doing what they read in their Bible. No. Every now and then, you got to have that element of surprise on them. They need to know at any moment you can come through that door. Amen. Don't assume nothing. Y'all hear me? Parents, don't assume nothing with these kids. It's too much. It's too much exposure. All they got to do is punch a button. And it's all there. Amen. No, don't assume anything. Number four, accept responsibility when you're wrong. Parents, hear me. I don't want my amens to go and all the claps to go. Accept responsibility when you are wrong. Now, in verse 48, Mary had the nerve to ask Jesus why he did that to him. Look, verse 48. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Now, parents, you got to accept responsibility when you're wrong. Now, many people are going to say, well, Jesus was wrong for that. Jesus shouldn't have done that. Jesus ain't never been wrong. So don't go there. So we know where the blame is. Amen. They assumed that he was in the caravan, but she had the nerve to come charge him up. Now, let's paint that picture now. Come on, let's be real about this. So again, Jerusalem from Nazareth was about 65 to 70 miles, walking. If the man, you're on a donkey. I thought I'd put that back in there. And so you travel all the way home, and then you realize he's not with you. So all of a sudden, Jesus, you don't hear him. Don't hear him. Jesus, now they begin to get worried. So now they got to turn around and walk all the way back to Jerusalem looking for Jesus. And they're worried and they're anxious. And I may as well drop this on you while I'm here. If you don't know where Jesus is, you ought to be worried. And you ought to be anxious in a hurry to find him. I just thought I'd drop that in on you. But they travel all the way back. They travel all the way back to Jerusalem. And then when they get there, it's dark because they didn't travel a whole day's journey. So they can't do nothing at night. So the next morning, they get up and they start looking around the city. 3 days. And the Bible says they go to the temple and there he is. Sitting amongst the teachers, asking questions and learning all these things. And everybody's blown away at his understanding. Now, let's be real, mama. Let's be real, mothers and fathers. Let's be real. If your child went away from you and you traveled by foot all the way, you went all the way to Austin on foot, all the way back, and you mad, hot, mouth dry, worried. And you find them at church. And you go up to your child. Now, why did you do that to us? And I think I know it would have been more drama from some of these mothers in here today. But you get all the way up to your child and your child looks at you. And after you done went off on them, me and your daddy been looking for you. We done traveled all the way home on foot. came all the way back. We've been looking for you, Jesus. And he looks at you and say, well, why are you looking for me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? How many of y'all, don't raise your hand. Don't raise. How many of y'all would have whooped Jesus? A lot of y'all, Jesus would have got a whooping that day. But they were wrong. They were wrong. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, parents, do not provoke your children to anger. To anger. And listen. That's the worst thing you can do as a parent is when you are wrong, fail to acknowledge that you're wrong. They should have been hugging him, loving on him, saying, we are so sorry, we assumed that you were in that caravan. Parents, don't ever get to the place to where you can't apologize and accept responsibility for being wrong. Amen? No. You can't do that. I mean, think about that. That's the worst feeling in the world, is to not know where your child is. But you're wrong, and they have to accept responsibility for their action. So you got to accept that. Number five, this is huge. Ask God for wisdom and revelation on what he wants to do in the life of your child. As a parent, you need to ask God for wisdom and revelation on what he is doing in the life of your child. Look at verse 46. It says, So it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. He said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand. They did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Ask God for wisdom and revelation on what he wants to do in the life of your child. Now, think about this. Mary and Joseph, they should have had some inkling or some clue that it was something special about Jesus. Think about it. Number one, she was a virgin. Amen. That wasn't Joseph's son. And that may explain why Mary asked Jesus the question and not Joseph. I thought about that. I don't know, but I thought about that. I mean, y'all know our brothers can get. You better get your child. Joseph probably said, look, he ain't mine. But Mary did. Mary is the one addressed him, but not the father. Amen. But listen. She was a virgin. Number one, Gabriel visited them. Number two, we had the shepherds that visited them. The wise men visited them. Simeon spoke of him. Anna spoke of him. They should have known that there was something special about this child, which lets me know that they really weren't in tune and they didn't understand everything. But Mary treasured these things in her heart. Parents, here it is. More than. You know, parents are so quick to look and see which type of athletic ability that child has, if they've got special athletic ability, or special academic ability, or artistic abilities, which are good. It's okay. But above that, parents, above that, you really need to be looking to see what kind of spiritual giftedness your child has. Y'all hear me this morning? We're talking about parenting in the 21st century. You know, all of those things are fine. You know, it's good. Say, my kid's athletic. Yeah, but what about the spiritual side? What is God trying to do in your child's life? Can you see it? Do you have enough spiritual vision to see God's hand on your child and what God is trying to do in the life of your child? That's huge. That's huge. That's huge. They married them. They missed it. They missed it. But they had every sign leading up to it. He was special. Jesus was special. And they missed it. And y'all know what I believe in my heart? I believe that every child is special in the sight of God. Amen. Amen. Every child is special in the sight of God. And parents, you ought to begin telling your child that even in the womb. Even in the womb. And if you miss that, it's not too late to start telling them you're special. God's got big plans for your life. You're a chosen vessel for God. Begin to speak that in your child's life. You have no idea how far that will take that child versus all this other stuff that parents are telling their kids. Some of the things that parents tell their kids, they ought to be locked up. Ought to be locked up. They're putting all these labels on kids. All these labels on kids. ED. Need to get them parents some of those labels. You emotionally disturbed. Amen. Listen, these kids are special. And parents, it is your job, it is our job to tell them that they're special and that God has something in store for them. But really looking at what God is trying to do in their life. Amen. Listen, you ought to ask God, God, show me which direction you're taking this child in, because I don't want to miss it. If they like to draw, God may use that for them to be a missionary somewhere. They like to talk a lot. They just won't be quiet. Always got something to say. Guess what that may be? Evangelists, pastor, they just can't be quiet. That's when you guys say, oh, God going to use you to speak his word. You love to talk. Oh, God going to take that. God going to take you places. You love to talk. He's going to do something with that. Hey, you special. You special. This is what we have to start speaking into the lives of our children. Amen. We've got missionaries in here. Children, missionaries. We've got prayer warriors. Children, parents. If you got a child that want to pray, you need to pray with that child. Amen. Pray with that child. Let the child pray. Amen. You know, it's a whole different thing when kids get to praying. A whole nother thing when kids get to praying. They're going to talk to God. They're going to lay it all out. Amen. They'll lay it out. They'll even tell God about you. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. All of these things are important. The Bible says that Mary treasured these things in her heart. She held on to it. She held on to it, parents. She held on to it. As God gives you wisdom and revelation on which direction he's taking your child, this is what the scripture says. The scripture says, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, in the way they should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6:4 says, so we're to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When you see God doing something and they're going in a certain direction, you need to cultivate that. You need to cultivate that as a parent and say, oh, this is what God is trying to do in my child's life. Listen. And then God, thank you, Lord. God will use other people to help you see what he's doing in your child's life. Sometimes you may not see it. Sometimes you may miss it, but God will use other people. Listen, the shepherds spoke well of Christ. The wise men spoke well of Christ. These were outside people who understood what was going on with Jesus. And God will have you around certain people, and they may tell you something. Say, you know what? I see that in your child. Don't dismiss it. Ask God. God, show me. If that's the direction you're taking my child in, I want to cultivate that, and I don't want to miss that. Because I want my child to be all that you want them to be. You all parents, y'all young parents, this is critical. This information is critical for the times in which we live. For the times in which we live. And again, extracurricular activities, they're great. they're great. But if you miss it spiritually, if they don't have a foundation, we talked about this in 1 John. It's three levels. You got John said he spoke to the children, he spoke to the young men, and then he spoke to the fathers. He spoke to the children. Children are symbolic to those who just come to Christ. Babies in Christ. Doesn't matter your age. Just a baby in Christ. But then the young men he spoke to, young men were those who were able to overcome the evil one. Overcome the evil one. And then the fathers are those who were sound in Bible doctrine, who weren't going to be swayed in their doctrine and what they believe. And what God revealed to me, and we talked about this on Wednesday night, the young men, he says, you've overcome the evil one. The revelation God gave me. Many times kids are brought up in the church. They're brought up in the church. And then right now, many aren't brought up in the church. But many kids are brought up in the church. But at the age of 18, between 18 and 25, the evil one attacks. The evil one attacks. And what we found out, and we all know this to be true, that between the age of 18 to 27, young people just basically lose it. Just begin to do worldly things. Worldly things. I was guilty of it. Do worldly things. Worldly things. But because some had a foundation and they had something to come back to. They had something to come back to. But there's a generation who've never had a foundation. Never had a foundation. But it said they were able to overcome the evil one. And our prayer for our young adults, and young adults, if you're in this church and you hadn't connected with Sterling, Chris, or Troy, Lar, make sure you connect with them. If you're in that age group, you need to stay close in order to overcome the evil one. In order to overcome that age, 18 to 27, Satan has his way. He has, you know, you got all that freedom. You're at college for the first time. You got freedom. You're grown now. You're grown now. And believe you me, the evil one is sitting back waiting to take advantage, to take advantage. But if we start here, and we train them up the way they should go, according to this word, according to this word, parents, this will help you. This will help you in this 21st century when all these things are coming at our kids. Cut on the TV, sin. Look on the phone, sin. Computer, sin, 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 sin. Everything is changing. This world is getting darker and darker and darker and darker. And parents, I've given you, just given you something that you can take and say, I'm going to use this to raise my children in this culture so that they will be children of light, children of light, children of light to change things for the glory of Almighty God. Amen.